Hey friends, thanks for listening to the Axiom podcast. We're a community centered around experiencing Jesus together and practicing his ways as a community. We like to say in Peoria as it is in heaven. So this podcast is just space for discussion and exploring ideas and principles of the kingdom, and also where we post our sermons from Sunday gatherings. So please engage us online, and hope you enjoy this episode.
All right. Yeah. That's enough of all that. How are you guys doing this morning? All right, so just so you know, I might transfer to this microphone in the middle of this whole thing, because apparently my voice was like riding waves last sermon. I didn't hear it though, and so there's nothing more disarming than Pastor Gavin slowly coming up with a microphone to you from the side and throwing off your whole, I mean, I had the best sermon prepared, and it just like totally got just thrown on the floor, and I'm just kidding. I love you, Pastor Gavin. So I might have to transfer to this microphone, but that's what's happening. I'm not just doing some like stage performance or something like that, although, you know, I might get crazy up here. I hope you guys are all doing well. Hey, by the way, you are God's beloved, and his desire is for you. Hey, thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to get into this thing, but first I want to pray over the sermon to center myself as we dive in here. And Doug, I'm going to trust you to like flag me down. The micro, it's good? Okay, perfect. All right. In that case, though, I'm going to pray over the sermon, just center me, if nothing else, because I'm just thinking about microphones up here. That's not a sermon. All right. Dear Lord, we just lift up this sermon here. We pray that it's not my words, but your words that are spoken here today. And we trust you to use this imperfect vessel that is me to communicate your word this morning. And we just open ourselves to you, Jesus. We open ourselves to all the possibilities, all the things that you might have for each individual one of us here sitting in this room today, Lord. We trust you, and we trust where you're leading us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So last week we kind of started getting into this kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is like sermon. And we're going to continue on with that here today. But more than the kingdom of God is like, in today's sermon you're going to hear a lot more about the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's some disagreements about this in like, you know, nerdy theological circles that maybe these two things refer to something completely different or slightly different. But generally speaking, it is, you know, agreed upon that both the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, this language is used to refer to the same thing. And in fact, Matthew, he predominantly uses the language of the kingdom of heaven in his gospel. And so when I speak about the kingdom of heaven, in my sermon here today, I just want you to know that I'm talking about the kingdom of God when I'm talking about that here today. So when we say the kingdom of heaven is like, we're saying also the kingdom of God is like, because heaven is the place where God's authority reigns supreme. We're in the full illumination of that authority. So to say that we are in the kingdom of heaven is to say that we are in the kingdom of God. All right. So when we ask this question, well, this is just a statement up here, I suppose, the kingdom of God is like. But really, that begs a question. Yeah, what is the kingdom of God like? You know, man? Thank you. Somebody laughed. It's like, that just sounds how Pastor Eric always talks. just like some surfer guy. Keanu Reeves. Whoa. And so when I say that, when we ask this question, though, it's like, who has that answer? It's my belief, my conviction, that the source of our knowingness about like where, what the kingdom of God is like, the source of where we get that information most clearly, is from Jesus himself, the Word of God, come into the world to communicate God's purpose clearly for us here today. And so when we invite this question, what is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? I believe that we should turn to Jesus first and foremost. We need to know what Jesus is leading us into, because each person is appropriately formed only under or within the kingdom of God, within the kingdom of heaven. And as much as we submit ourselves to the authority and rule of God's kingdom, that's where we experience the most growth and purification. That's where we enter into the fullness of God's desire for us. Now, when Jesus talks about this kingdom, he doesn't lay out a blueprint. It's not like step by step, this is how you build the kingdom of heaven. It's like you wouldn't build the kingdom of heaven like you would build, you know, your house or do a remodel on your bathroom. He usually communicates in a form that we call parables. It's an as though conversation. It's like this. And so when we listen to Jesus' words, we want to avoid this kind of human tendency to just literalize everything that's being said. He is trying to communicate to us a powerful truth that in some ways extends beyond our immediate perception. And we'll see that as we try to understand exactly what the kingdom of heaven is like, we're not alone in trying to understand what Jesus is saying here and what he's communicating. Even the disciples, they need to pull Jesus aside and ask, what is it that you're saying right now, Jesus? So I wanted to say that just from the outset. We want to have patience to not just resolve ourselves to meaning as I read through this parable. And I'm just going to sit here and read through this parable. So I'm going to ask you and invite you to have some patience as we do that, and just to receive the words as we ask ourselves this question: what is the kingdom of heaven like? If you want to read along, it's going to come up on the screen, or you can turn to your Bibles, Matthew 13, verse 24. And Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now, the temptation here is to immediately fill in the gaps, to immediately try to explain what's happening here. Because again, it's probably not the case that the kingdom of heaven is literally some guy out in a field somewhere. It's like one day you're just going to wake up and you'll be in this field and there'll be a guy sowing seeds everywhere, right? Remember, the kingdom of heaven is like, there's something being communicated here beyond the literal. The nice thing is, so I don't have to offer you an explanation because Jesus offers an explanation. We pick it up in verse 36. "Then he," that is Jesus, "left the crowd and went into the house." That's kind of telling. He pulls himself away from the crowd and goes into a house. His disciples came to him. The disciples, the people who were closest to Jesus, who spent time with him, knew him, maybe better than anybody. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Explain to us. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." So, that's what it means. We got it. You guys have a good day. But in a real sense, yeah, I mean, Jesus is communicating something here of clarity to us. We understand who the sower is. It's not just some sower, it's the Son of Man. And the good seed is not just seed. It is people of the kingdom. There is an evil one who comes in. That is the devil. And sows weeds, which are people of the evil one. People who live after the evil one. There will be burning. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a little scary. I know growing up, I heard this passage a lot. Or at least it was in the psyche of the church community. This kind of like hyper urgency and awareness that there's going to be burning. And there are faces that will come to your mind, people who are going to be burning. It's terrifying. And maybe it caused us to live in a space of sorting. Like I said, faces came to mind, actions came to mind. I know for myself, growing up, the tendency was to want to sort the things out, start addressing the weeds in my life, whether they be stuff of the weeds of the heart, or weeds around me. What's interesting here in this passage, though, that's not what is being called for in this section, in this parable. There's not a moment where the servants come up to the sower and say, "Hey, there are all these weeds. You want us to pull them out, get rid of them, start doing that work, get it addressed?" The sower's like, "Yeah, that would actually be really helpful. Why don't you guys go off and start doing that right now for me?" That is not what we see here. Instead, we hear the sower, that is the Son of Man, say, "No, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Could it be that this passage somehow speaking to a deep mystery of the kingdom? If we hear Jesus say that the kingdom of God is at hand, that's a hard thing sometimes to affirm. Amen? There's so much wrong with the world. There's so much wrong with me. How is it that the kingdom of God is at hand. And yet, Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like weed and wheat being gathered up and the weeds being burned and the wheat being taken to the barn. End of story. It begins, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field, in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. The kingdom of heaven is like that too. It is as though there were good seeds and now there are also weeds. Part of this mystery then between the good and the evil requires attention to be held in the kingdom of heaven. Is what it seems like. We have to leave the bad to grow alongside the good until the harvest comes, until the kingdom is fully manifest. Beyond that, we're told that if the bad is not left, then the good may not grow. While you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. There's a temptation, as I said, to get busy about the work of resolving things. Does anybody like solving problems? I do. I've got a 100-year-old house. Every time anything comes up, it's like I just want everything to be perfect and fine, and everything's fine all the time. But it's just not, right? We have our families, our relationships, our jobs, our careers, our retirement plans. We have 10-year, 20-year plans. We want everything to be resolved. But that's not what the kingdom of heaven is like. Because the sower doesn't say, yep, get out there and rip them all out. He says, wait. He invites the servants to rest in the tension of the weeds. It's not until the harvest that the Lord himself sifts things out. The Son of Man, it says in verse 41, will send out angels during this time. A Jewish commentator from like the 14th century, Moses Maimonides, described angels as the agents of God's activity in the world, the manifestation or the agents of his activity in the world. This is a holy divine thing that happens. And in that time of harvest, that's when the sorting occurs. Until then, we're told to wait. Perhaps this is why this tension in the kingdom of heaven is why different people can believe very different things. That both sides can bear good and bad within them. It's why there's so much confusion in the world. Why I can look at something, somebody who doesn't believe something even remotely like what I believe, and yet somehow, mysteriously, they're doing good. There's a tension there. And the call is not for me to resolve that tension, but to grow in the midst of it. The wheat continues to grow alongside the weeds. And it's only in the end that each will be gathered. In a way, it's an invitation of surrender. The servants want to resolve the tension right now. But maybe there is something good about the process of surrendering, of being able to live in the tension of the weeds, to grow despite it. That's not a pleasant process to contemplate, because I think most of us have a heart for fixing things. But the arrogance of that is it contradicts the confession that we hold in our hearts. We are not fixing. Jesus is fixing. We've spoken in the past of Jesus' invitation. Put on his yoke. He invites us into his gentleness. He invites us patiently to walk with him. He invites us patiently to be in the field and to grow there. And that is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Somehow the wheat grows, it is nourished, even amidst the weeds. Can we do it? Can we surrender the sorting mentality of figuring out who is good, who is evil? And can we just trust the sower's discernment in the end? Can we trust the Son of Man to know what is good and to trustingly hand over to him what is evil? This is a call of freedom in many ways. We submit to the Lord's power and not our own. We submit to the kingdom of heaven in all things. And we trust our sower's discernment. We trust Jesus' discernment. And we trust the uncomfortable. We trust the tension of the wheat and the weeds. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that is patient. And that as we receive the love of God, may that love increasingly inspire us to wait in all humility for our Lord to discern. Won't you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, we lift up these words. We pray that you use them, whatever's there. We trust you too, Lord, with our heart of anxious, busying and worrying and our desire to solve and resolve all things here and now. Help us, Lord, to rest in the tension of the good and the bad, of the wheat and the weeds. Help us to trust your discernment, Lord. Help us to be patient as we wait for the harvest and not to assume anything about the sorting preemptively, lest we accidentally pull out the wheat along with the weeds, that we pull out what is good along with what is bad. Teach us to grow in that patience, Lord. We lift this up in your name. Amen.